Good evening, and welcome to Blind Spot. Tonight, we are going to enter the world of the future, a time and place very different from our own. Through the marvels of radio technology, our scientific team of radiophonic engineers have tapped into the enharmonic intervals and modulations of the secondary dominant wavelengths, and have invented a transitional supersonic transistor that has the ability to translate this information into modern audio signals. Tonight, through this marvel of science, we bring you a neighborhood tour of Quadrant 22. We're not entirely sure the exact year that the transmissions are originating in, but even with the absence of that knowledge, this is an historic broadcast. Tonight's broadcast features the talents of Jesse Sieyès, Philip Von Zweck, John Wanzel, and myself. I'm Tom Bailey. Each week, Blindspot creates a unique live radio experience that explores the possibilities of radio. For more information on this program, as well as the community of artists, musicians, writers, performers, and art professionals that work on the show, please visit our website, stopgostop.com/blindspot. Let me see if the future topic radioscope is working properly. If so, the next voice you should hear is that of one of tonight's tour guides. Yes, I think it's working. Tonight, live on WLUW 88.7 Chicago, Blind Spot presents Invisible City, an audio tour from the future.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. My name is Jesse C., and thank you all for joining us tonight. It is my pleasure to be one of your tour guides for this very special neighborhood tour. Tonight, myself and my colleague, John Wanzel, are proud to illuminate some of the historical artifacts and buildings in Quadrant 22. I want to thank you in advance for your contribution to the Quadrant 22 Historical Foundation, or Q22HF, because without you, there is a chance that history would be destroyed.
Oh, thank you, Jesse. We begin tonight at one of the city's true treasures. The decaying concrete structure that you see behind me is the ruins of what they used to call public transportation. Before modern conveniences such as permatransport chips and jet cars, the masses would huddle in large electric-powered steel tubes. It was truly a different time.
The cars would go through the city at a slow pace, top speeds only reaching around 50 miles per hour. Commute times would sometimes be an hour to the city center. It is amazing that they got any work done. The public cars became completely useless during the Great Plague. A few years after the Great Plague, the city started to dismantle the public transportation system.
Oh, yes, until the money ran out. But, as you know, the late teens were hard economic times for us all. Okay, now we need to get moving. So, if we can all make our way across the street, we can continue our tour. Now, first off, I just want to check to make sure that everyone signed their waiver, because here at the Q22HF, we just want to say that we do not take any responsibility for your safety.
No, none at all. No. Ever since the ban on all traffic laws, especially speed limits, we can't be held responsible for this. But good luck. We'll see you on the other side.
Okay, do we have most everyone?
All right, now, if you think that was dangerous, picture the plight of those who lived in the neighborhood just before the plague. This neighborhood, like many others around the country, was filled with somnambulists. That's right, sleepwalkers. Historical documents claim that over 10% of the local population were sleepwalkers.
The gate that we find on this side of the road is our next point of interest. This is one of the spots where the sleepwalking problem was fought. Yes, the sleepwalking problem. Besides the fatal traffic accidents, there was at one time The police believe that there was actually an organized sleepwalking crime ring. The authorities had difficulties proving this because no one that they brought in for questioning remembered anything that they did the night before.
Well, not all of the details have been figured out about the crime ring or the rise in sleepwalking, but one researcher believed that the sudden shift in sleep patterns that happened in 2010 was caused by local corporations trying to compete on a global scale.
That shift caused a working population that was completely deprived of sleep, and in one researcher's opinion, more likely to sleepwalk. Due to the unhappiness of the workforce, they ended up acting out their dreams.
Yes, and this gate was one of the sites where the city tried to fight this. Throughout the city, there was a sleepwalker alert system. It was made of a series of speakers and motion detectors that would release what was called a sonic repellent. These devices would read the REM patterns of everyone that walked by, and those that read as positive for sleepwalking would receive a blast of queasy sonic matter. This was scientifically proven to cause anxiety in the individual, no matter how far into the dream they were. This would either cause the sleepwalker to wake up or return to the safety of their home.
It was truly a marvel of science. The amount of sleepwalking crime diminished, and soon there became no need for such devices. But thanks to the dedicated staff of the Q22HF, we have reconstructed one of those devices. So, if one of you brave souls would care to look inside that shrub, and you'll see a red button.
Yes, we didn't mention that the devices were camouflaged as shrubberies, so if you will, push that button. There you go, right there. And we can pretend we are all sleepwalkers of 2012, off on our own little crime spree. Spooky sounding, isn't it? For those of you who may have heart problems, it may be best if you stand at least 10 feet away from the device. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention that earlier. But it has been known to cause some adverse reactions. Sir, are you okay? Sir? Sir? Thank you.
Now, let's proceed on our way. As we walk along the path, picture back over 100 years ago when this was the site of a university, well before our current educational system. Back in those times, those that could afford it would enroll in what they called this university, which was, from what our researchers tell us, the equivalent to our pre-COG institutes. Many of these buildings were centers for this university.
Oh, yes, and now our next point of interest is before us. It is known in the neighborhood as the Kitten, but it was in fact a fine example of the Everyman Recognition Act.
Yes, with the rise of the Everyman movement, statues were erected for all those that qualified.
Now, to qualify, applicants had to write a 3-page essay entitled, Why I Am Deserving of Having a Statue Constructed in My Likeness. Over a 5-year period, 200 statues were erected in this city alone. They ranged from greengrocers to mortuary technicians. Their essays were reprinted in full on plaques next to the statues.
Unfortunately, the plaque is missing from this fine statue.
During this time, there were also Everyman talk shows, which featured hour-long segments devoted to spot welders' work stories. The Everyman statue in front of us used to pay tribute to a career criminal with a phone book-thick rap sheet. His essay was mostly written about the joy of feeding kittens.
You know, Jesse, as a kid, I played around this statue all the time, and I actually memorized portions of the essay.
Really, John? I think we would all enjoy hearing that.
Okay. As the velvet paws pitter-patter eagerly on the hardwood floor, I find it hard to think of anything as rectitude, yet at the same time, obvious to the cold, cruel shocks of the world. Each pitter-patter of each and every paw of my many kittens, that's 33 of them at last count, serves to infuse me with the same spirit, that of knowing everything yet knowing nothing, kitten-mindy. This is what I strive for in my daily duties.
Lovely, yes. We all could certainly use a little more kitten mind. Let's continue on our tour. Our next stop is just east of here.
We're going to go just down the hill and under the skywalk, along the lighted hallway and along the lighted walkway until the open field.
We'll circle back up at that time, so walk at your own pace, and we'll talk again when we all get to the running track.